There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a menacing presence seems to kill the romance. Before it starts, a ghost seems to speak whatever language necessary to convey its message. A sailor shares a ghost story from onboard his ship. A woman appears different to family members and is searching for someone. And Jenny has a sneezing fit. Will I turn her microphone down very quickly?
My head hurts now. I tried to keep it in, and I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I just totally blew out my sinuses.
You have, your eyes are all puffy now and red, and there's a little bit of blood coming.
I look possessed.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say, refrain from medical attention and sit in the chair and do your job.
Okay. Thank you. I will.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. I know Jenny does not look like that.
No. But that hurts when you try and keep a sneeze in because you're trying to be quiet and not ruin the recording.
I turned your volume down over here.
Yeah.
So it was less menacing.
We'll get 5 people that think it's an EVP. That's okay.
What was that noise? If you like our program, follow us on social media, Facebook at Real Ghost Stories Online, Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, or at Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat, you can find us there as well, at Ghost Podcast. So lots of ways to interact with us outside of the program. So good times for all, hey?
Yeah.
Excited about the stories today, looking forward to that. And I should also mention this, I mentioned it in yesterday's episode, taking dream stories for the second podcast that's in the works, not launched yet. Dreamingradio.com is the website for that. The show is called Dream Meanings, and that will be coming out shortly. But we need the dreams first. Otherwise, there ain't much of a show. But starting to get some of those in. So if you have a dream, it doesn't have to be of the paranormal nature that you'd like to have a little bit of analyzation done on. For non-medical purposes, just for the heck of it, feel free to check that out at dreamingradio.com and then watch this space for more info on when that will be launching. Let's go to our first story of the day today here at Real Ghost Stories Online, and it comes into us from Abel. And Abel says, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Abel from Los Angeles. I've written to you a few times before about Dodger Stadium being haunted and my son experiencing things at a young age. Today, I want to tell you about a couple of dream paralysis I've experienced in my life." Is it? I added an extra "isses" on there, didn't I? Just dream paralysis, not dream paralysis.
Or dream paralyses.
Paralysis. How about that? That's even better.
That sounds really bad.
Paralysis?
Yeah.
That sounds like it. It sounds kind of odd. I've experienced in my life. Sorry if they're too long. The first one happened in the mid-80s. I were being held down by a couple of figures and was only able to see one of them clearly. I remember they had a black cape and hood on. I struggled to get up or yell. My older brother was on the bed next to me. I'd call his name, but nothing would come out. Eventually, I was able to break out of that dream or whatever that was. But what really freaked me out was that when I woke up, the room's darkness still looked the same as in my dream. The way I saw my brother then was still the same. The second experience I had was about 5 years ago. I was sleeping on my side. In my dream, I clearly heard someone walk into my room. I tried turning around, but I couldn't for the next few moments. Whatever it was that was approaching me kept getting closer and closer. By the end, I clearly felt whatever it was breathing on my neck. When I finally broke out of it, I turned around with a swing and nothing was there. My wife told me that I was mumbling, but that was about it. My last experience is the one that really freaked me out. This happened around a year ago. Like my past experiences, I was unable to move or say anything, but this time I didn't feel or hear or see anything spooky. So it seemed kind of strange. Either way, I tried to wake up from this. I remember someone told me that if I ever experienced this, that I should say the Our Father prayer. So I did. I finished the prayer, nothing. I was still unable to wake up or move, so I tried it a second time. The only thing that was that my voice changed, and I was saying the prayer in a demonic voice. That woke me up. I was so freaked out, I wasn't able to sleep the rest of the night. I haven't experienced anything since then, in my dreams at least. Again, thank you for all that you do and for having this podcast. I love listening to the stories. Keep up the good work. Have a good day, night.
I think it goes without saying that when you have a prayer being said and it suddenly gets contorted into a demonic voice, something is mocking you. And it's obviously stronger than the prayer that you're saying.
Mm-hmm. It does feel like there's something that could be there. Or if I'm going to take the outside of the paranormal realm on this one, which I don't know. I mean, again, this could be one where it could fall either direction, mm-hmm. I think. You know, could it be something where, you know, there's something inside of him and not speaking demonically, but something inside of him that, you know, a darker side.
Yeah.
That he's aware of or is trying to hold down or is afraid is going to come out and has never been dealt with effectively, mm-hmm. ever been dealt with, you know, to a way to get it under control and feels like, you know, because a possession is something that you don't have control of.
Sure.
So could there be something there where it's a little bit deeper rooted that's not in the paranormal realm, not in the demonic realm, but more so psychological realm of, you know, I feel like this is here. I'm in no control of when it's going to come out. And I feel like it's getting closer to the surface and it's kind of manifesting itself in a dream that way.
It could be too.
So there's another thought mm-hmm. on the dream. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Gee golly, it's fun doing a show when we have severe weather around us.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to apologize. I'm slightly distracted. More than slightly.
We it's the end of February here, and so storm season starts up early. And by the time you read this, the storms will be done. Or listen to this, the storms will be well done and over. But as we're doing this, I was surprised. You were just at the end of that story. Like, we just got a warning. Like, I was just outside like 10 minutes ago, and it's sunny. And we're sitting here, and it is still sunny. I'm looking out the window. But there's, you're like, yeah, look over that way. Are you seeing more of that in the area I can't see? Is what direction even is that?
That is north.
Okay, that's north.
Your internal compass is broken.
Oh yeah, sure. I'm defective. I would be at the Big Lots.
30 feet out in the woods, and you're fucked.
I would be the Big Lots discount bin compass.
Yeah,
it's like, this is great. It lights up, but it's never north.
It's like somebody put a magnet on the back of your compass.
It is.
And it just spins.
Very much like that. But there's at the time of this recording, tornado watches all around us and a lovely little supercell that's just popped up literally since we started recording the show about 10 minutes ago. And it's a little ways away. So if we suddenly disappear and you just hear the creepy music, wouldn't that be fun? Just leave that in there.
Yeah,
we can make it a huge drama for the show. We could just leave that and then run to the other room and just scream and then come back. Just kidding. That's nothing happened.
We lived in a place where meteorologists did that once.
That's true. Live on television.
It was like they were, I don't know. It was like little kids playing Storm, you know, run, go, go, go. Yeah, it was just stupid.
If I remember right, And it was only one network that did it. The other people stayed in their studio.
The reputable networks did not do that.
It was the one that was lowest in ratings. And I think Peter Cetera was the meteorologist. I say that because the guy looked like
Peter. His lookalike, yeah.
It was like, hey, look what Peter Cetera's doing now. It was. And if I remember correctly, they really weren't even on the path of where the tornado was.
Not at all. They were not like, even slightly.
Not even the area of town where this thing was coming. And they have the radar in front of them telling them where it is.
It was our county, but that was it.
It's like if anyone should know what part of town you should be taking cover in, they should be the ones. But regardless, had to save the hair.
Had to save the hair.
Getting stronger every day. Start making a whole bunch of Chicago and Peter Cetera references. What was the Peter Cetera
Cher
song?
I am not even in that right
now. I was thinking
now.
Maybe you could do a little Cher with me.
A weather anxiety meltdown over here, so I could care less about your fucking Peter Cetera
but
comments.
Everything that makes it better is Peter Cetera and Cher doing a song that makes the world a happier place to live in. Yes. That doesn't even bring a tiny smile?
Not even.
Okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com, and I'll attempt to go into another story. Is it getting closer?
No. There's some details on the watch I want to talk to you about.
Let's press pause, and we'll be back right after this. And we're back. So, there was more than a 2 second break there. There was more like an hour or so break, right when we had to stop the show there. It took a particular nasty turn, but then the storm turned another direction. So I am back in the studio. Me, Tony, Jen is out picking up our daughter from school. So I'll just continue on with the program. For right now, and if she joins us again later in the episode, hopefully she does, that would be great. If not, we will hear some more ghost stories in the peace and mindset of knowing that there's not a storm headed directly at us at this exact moment in time. So continuing on, never really thought I'd be dealing with like weather crap, doing a podcast, just doing live radio. It was always a thing, but We've delayed doing shows before. I think this is the first time we actually, in the middle of it, stopped and went, okay, just wait. So, anyhow, when you're doing live radio, that's not an option. It's just sit and wait and hope to God that the tornado doesn't come your way because you're sitting above ground and there's no basement at your radio station. So, anyway. Continuing on here, Shelby writes into us, hey, I absolutely love your show and knew the first time I listened to one of your podcasts that this was a great place to share my story. The dorm room I currently live in is haunted. When I first moved into the room over the summer 2 years ago, nothing weird would happen, but I'd occasionally smell a weird smell. According to my new roommates, the girl who had lived in the room before me would always leave bowls of rice in her room until they rotted. So I thought perhaps that was what I'd been smelling. The remnants of that. Thinking nothing of it, I shrugged it off and would spray Febreze whenever I smelt it. The fall semester began, and the original roommates moved out, replaced by my friends. It was then that things started. It was little things at first. The light would flicker on and off by itself. The door would open and close. Things would start to move. Little things like that. They weren't bad, just annoying, so I thought nothing of it. However, towards the end of the fall semester, things started getting worse. I started having horrible nightmares that kept me from sleeping. If I ate and went into my bedroom, I would eventually get sick. This feeling of dread too much to keep any food down. I'd wake up with painful bruises shaped like hands and bleeding scratches on my arms, legs, and back. Things would go missing. The door would lock itself behind me, and I would awake in the room. I could feel something didn't want me there. This went on for about a week, and my health greatly suffered. My friends and I, very freaked out by this, managed to contact one of the original roommates, and she finally told us the truth. The girl who had lived in my room had been heavily into the occult and would often perform weird rituals in my bedroom. The idea of there being some sort of being in my room, summoned there by her, was not out of the realm of possibility. My friends and I did some research, and we decided to do this mixture of cleansing rituals so my room would be safe for me again. One friend, a Christian, got oil and water blessed by a priest, which we spread over the door, frame, and windowsill. Another friend, who's Wiccan, smudged the room with white sage and placed crystals. A third friend, who is Jewish, hung up talismans that are supposed to promote protection and goodwill. We covered my carpet in salt, especially around and under my bed, and sprayed the holy water into the air. We just did everything we could to make the room safe, and it seemed to work. The initial creature was gone, and my room felt safe again. I could sleep, eat, and just hang out in my room without having any issues. It was lonely and lasted for a bit over a year. However, about 3, maybe 4 months ago, a new ghost has shown up. One that apparently can ignore the oil on the door and window and everything else in my room. Bags of salt I keep in my room instead of salting the floor. This ghost, however, doesn't seem dangerous. It does touch me, but not in any harmful way. When I'm in bed, it plays with my hair or will draw shapes on my shoulders and arms. My pajamas are all tank tops, leaving my arms bare. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I can feel it watching me, and I'll often hear shushing noises as if it's trying to get me to go back to sleep without panicking. It does seem possessive, though. I'm a lesbian, and a few times I've brought a girl home for the night since this new ghost showed up. They've always left after just a few minutes, claiming this awful feeling of anger directed towards them, as if they weren't welcome in my room. I never feel anything like that, though being in my room for a few days always feels slightly awkward. During that time, the ghost never touches me or even makes itself known. After those few days, the ghost will go back to playing with my hair, drawing on my skin, and the awkward feeling will disappear. Since it's just annoying to my love life and not really anything else, I've been ignoring the new ghost the best that I can. Love to hear what you guys think about all this. My roommates and I believe the girl who lived in the room before opened some sort of portal and never properly closed it, allowing these spirits to get into my room. But that's all we can think of. So if you guys have any idea what might be going on, I would love to hear. It does sound like it's fairly possessive. I would venture to guess that it's probably not demonic, but it's hard to know. I would venture to say that it probably has an attraction to you as well, judging by some of the things that it is doing to you physically, and probably is feeling jealous of whoever is coming home with you. That would be my guess on it. Probably protective, but protective in a sense where jealous boyfriend protective, but not abusive jealous boyfriend, just jealous boyfriend or girlfriend, what have you. I could see that being the case with whatever entity is in your room with you. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. We greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your experience with us. Georgia writes in, hi there. Really enjoy the show. The story happened to me last year in mid-July, that I had gone to France to visit my parents to take advantage of the affordable and good quality dental care. My parents and I are English and have lived in France for over 20 years. The house my parents were living in was built by them and it was standing on grounds that were once used for the pottery business because of the high percentage of clay in the soil. It was a lovely house, tall and airy. 2 weeks before I was due to have my wisdom teeth removed, my parents flew back to England to look after some things because they were planning to move. I was left alone in the house to look after the dog, a small Bichon freeze mix. On the first day that I was alone, I was in the kitchen cooking. I decided to quickly go upstairs to get a book. I walked downstairs, and the strangest thing happened to me. While walking to the kitchen, I felt a strong, warm breeze brush past my left cheek and heard a voice as clear as day whisper in my left ear, "Hi, George, I'm here." The voice was female. The breeze felt warm, and I could feel moisture from the breath of the entity on my ear. As quickly as they appeared, the sound and feelings vanished. I didn't feel that this was malevolent and decided to keep the information to myself. 1 to 2 weeks later, my dad was standing in the same part of the house and I heard a voice say, "Hi, I am here." He was alone at that time. I hadn't mentioned my experience to anyone, so this proves to me that something was in fact there. My dad is a Catholic and doesn't believe in ghosts. What I don't understand is, why would the entity communicate with us in English? They were in France. Was it a dead family member or an evil spirit pretending to be kind to lure us, want to lure us or one of us somewhere? Other small things like this have happened in the house. Matchboxes falling over, videotapes stopping for no reason, shadow figures. I think it has something to do with the clay that the house is built on. My parents have since moved out of the house. My mother believes the voice of we both heard was the spirit of the house, and that it was unhappy about us moving out. The house has been bought by a nice family, and I hope that if there is a spirit in there, that they feel happy and comfortable with a new family. I hope you enjoy the story. Georgia. I would suppose that a ghost can get just as comfortable with a family as a family could get comfortable with a ghost, especially one that maybe loves the property just as much as the family does. Probably at one time was living there, probably had its own family there, and feels a special connection to the place. I wonder how often it is in life or with ghosts that we in life have a ghost that haunts a house, and then in death you're able to actually interact on the same plane as the ghost and not be haunted by it anymore, but haunt together. Very often that happens. Phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. KT writes in, this happened about 12 years ago during my middle school to early high school years. I'm now 22. My family moved into a seemingly normal house. It was big and looked the fanciest out of all the surrounding houses in the block. When I first stepped into the house, I felt that there was something off about it, but I was disregarded as being unfamiliar in a new home. Everything seemed fine for the first year or so, but strange things started happening. I'd hear what I believe were voices, like a crowd of people, talking every night downstairs in the living room. Me being the curious kid I was would go down and check only to see it was nothing. My family was all fast asleep. I could never get enough sleep because I constantly heard strange sounds for a good amount of years. Another creepy incident happened when I was home with my dad. We were both eating lunch when I heard what sounded like him laughing. Only he wasn't. He was still eating and didn't seem to hear the disembodied laughter. I didn't say anything and kept to myself. I was scared but did not want to start a fuss. My dad doesn't really like stupid things like ghosts and fairies and would shrug it off if I do mention the topic. Things got really strange as when I was home alone with my younger sister, random electronics would turn themselves on. Her toy doll that said phrases when squeezed would go off up in her room, which creeped the hell out of both of us. We did not want to admit that the house was haunted and would just try to think logically, like the toy could have malfunctioned. This, however, seemed far from a coincidence, as the TV downstairs turned off by itself. A lot of things would turn themselves off, but the most frightening experience while living in this house was that my sister claims to have saw a shadow person walk into my room and the very night while I was reading a book at night. The lamp beside me turns off, and this lamp didn't burn out or anything, but the switch on it clicked, indicating that some physical force pushed it to turn the light off. It would seem that this house affected my parents, too, as their behaviors were slowly turning bad, to the point where they had a fight and almost considered divorce. Things seemed to go right for my family after we moved into a new house after 12 years of living there. Since moving to the new house, I've never experienced anything paranormal since, and I am glad. I don't blame you for being glad. That's a good thing to have. It's really scary when you have some sort of oppressive force in a house that, you know, really drives people's emotions to a very dark, dark place. Now, is that always the intention of the spirit? You know, I don't know. I wonder if it's just, you know, if you surround yourself with negative, you know, people with just bad attitudes and just sad outlooks on everything, you tend to pick up on some of that, and then naturally your own relationships can suffer. But was that ever the intention of the negative people around you, if that's who you're surrounding yourselves with? And most times it's not. It's just as a byproduct of being surrounded by that. And I wonder how often people are surrounded by spirits that give off that sort of energy. And their intention is not really to do any sort of harm to others' relationships. It's just you're feeding off of that negative energy, and that ends up being the byproduct. Something interesting to think about with that. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. As you know, if you like our show, we have a great way of supporting it. It's becoming an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. You sign up to be one of those at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, all 130-some. All the stuff that's fallen off iTunes, that's up there as well. And exclusive video content, Seeing Ghosts. Great episodes of that up there for your viewing pleasure. Check it out for yourself up there at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks in advance for being an EPP. That really is what does keep us on the air. $5 a month is all we ask. Or you can sign up for that full year, get a month free, and then you get a bunk bed bill as well when you sign up that way. So check it out over at ghostpodcast.com. We greatly appreciate your supporting of this show. Barry writes in, I'm a petty officer first class in the United States Navy. When I was stationed on board the USS Enterprise, I worked in the print shop. We had some interesting things happen. Back in 1969, there was a fire on board that took many sailors' lives in the defense of the ship. The location that the print shop is now was used as a triage center where some sailors died, but many more were treated and survived. Because of this tragedy, there are numerous sailors that have worked in the print shop and would say that they would feel like someone or something was watching them as they worked. And in the evening, the events and feelings of dread would increase. I have many times seen shadows in the back corners of the shop, along with movement out of the corners of my eye. Some mornings we would be missing finished jobs, or it would be moved to various locations on the shop. The biggest event happened one night while the ship was underway in the Atlantic Ocean. I was working late to conduct an inventory of our printing supplies, and I could see someone or hear someone in the shop with me. I looked around to see if someone had come in, and I did not notice it. It was noisy with printers running current jobs. I could not find anyone in the space, so I thought it was chalked up to another weird thing in the shop. I wish that was all it was, but a few minutes later, I could hear shuffling on the other side of the shop and went to take a look. There was papers being tossed into the air as if someone was into a fit of anger. I could feel an intense feeling as if someone was hurt or in pain. I got lightheaded and had a sharp pain in my stomach. I backed up and was about to leave when I heard something. It sounded like groans or grunts as if someone was in pain. At this point, I said, F this. I am done. I'll be back in the morning. I then promptly left. When I returned with my crew in the morning, there were papers strewn about the shop, and there were pools of blood on the floor as if there had been a mass casualty on the ship, and many people were brought down to the shop for treatment. We called medical and the master at arms and left the space to prevent contamination to the scene or infection to the sailors in the blood. When the MAAs arrived, they entered the space, and they returned with a puzzled look on their face. There was nothing wrong in the space. No blood, no odors, no papers strewn about. The space was as if nothing had happened. My crew and I were very confused and did not want to work that day, but had to, as it was our job. No one would go down there alone for a long while. We would still see shapes in the corners and movement out of the corners of our eyes. I have lots more stories from my time on the USS Enterprise and would love to share them if you want them. Thanks for all the stories. You do a great job with the show. Keep it up. Makes those long times away from family easier to deal with. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. Greatly appreciate that. Nothing like a good story of ghosts on a ship. That's just, it's right up there on my list of favorite types of ghost stories. You have to wonder, if you had reached down and felt the blood, would you have it on your hand? Would you feel it? Or were you seeing something that was being projected to you, a scene from the past, a scene from that horrible day years and years ago, and the energy of it leaving an imprint on everything, and that's why it was gone then shortly thereafter when it was being inspected. Very scary. Scary thing to go through, and confusing, I can't imagine, knowing what you saw, then it's all gone. Almost makes you feel a little bit crazy. Hopefully listening to the show helps calm that down with all the stories that we get. Makes you feel a bit more normal. Thanks for sharing. 855-853-4802. The phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online and share your experience with us. Our next story says, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Araceli, and I'm from Arvin, California. It's a very small town. This story happened a few years ago. It was about 12 midnight. I and a few friends were bored and decided to go ghost hunting. We drove to a school that's located outside the city. The school's basically in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by fields of almond trees. School is about one classroom per grade. I'd attended this school from kindergarten to eighth grade. Anyway, when we got to the school, there was only a couple lights on by the basketball court, but most part of the school was dark. We started walking around, taking pictures and just recording with our cell phones, hoping to catch our EVPs or something. We were not really expecting to actually find anything. My friends decided it'd be a good idea to walk to the back of the school where it was really dark. I, being a girl, was scared to go, so I decided to stay next to the auditorium where it was well lit outside. One of my friends decided to keep me company so I would not get scared. While we saw our friends walking further to the other side of the school, my friend and I heard a deep-pitched humming sound coming from the loudspeaker next to the exit of the auditorium. Then the light outside next to it got dim all of a sudden. We heard laughter of children coming from a speaker. It sounded like children playing and bouncing balls, having a good time. We both just froze and stared at each other. When I heard the laughing of children, I knew what it was. When I attended that school, as if it was raining outside and teachers would take the kids to the auditorium and have recess inside. They'd have jump rope, basketballs, all types of things for kids to play with. The kids laughing and yelling at the sound of the balls echo in the auditorium, and that's exactly what I heard that night. I called out to my friends and told them, "We have to leave." When we got home, I told them what happened, but they did not believe me. I would never go back there at night. I wonder if it's some kind of energy or memory that keeps replaying itself. What do you guys think? I would have to go with that. It's kind of just the replay, the film, if you will, of time. Lots of energy, lots of excitement, lots of probably happiness, actually. It's not just bad memories or scary memories. It's anything, anytime you have an emotion that's strong, that's, I think, where you likely have the imprint of something like that playing itself back. And that, I could certainly see a fun inside recess being one of them. Forgot about inside recess. Remember those days? We get the dodgeballs out. I was always a big fan of in the early 90s, Koosh War with the Koosh balls. Remember Koosh balls? The balls that have the thousand little rubber strings on. And we would do that instead of dodgeball. Everybody would bring their Koosh ball in, and then you essentially play it just like dodgeball. And I was horrible at dodgeball because I couldn't catch to save my life. I'm a klutz. I couldn't catch the Koosh balls to save my life either. I was really horrible. I was never trying to get somebody out by catching it. But I could whip those things really well, a lot better than I could do it with a dodgeball. I could get people out pretty good. And I had a pretty good aim by just grab a couple of the strings of the Koosh ball, like the rubber. And you just, you aim for your target and then you fling it like that. You don't throw the whole ball like you would a baseball. You take the rubber and use that for some propelling of it at a high speed towards your victim. Just in case you ever find yourself in a Koosh war 30 years after the fact of it being a thing, now you have a good tactic to use. I'm glad I could share that little bit of my few physical skills with you. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Samantha writes in, "Hi, I've been listening to your podcast. Thank you. Thanks to my friend Megan. I shared the basement EVP and the Hotel Del Coronado story. I told you I had more, and I feel something every time I stay in a haunted place. A few weeks back, I decided to throw a surprise birthday party for my boyfriend, Tim. My friend Laura was my hero, offering to help me with decorations. I stayed with her for 2 weekends straight. At first, I was fine, but one night, I was unable to stay with Laura in her bedroom, and I was shuffled into a guest room. I didn't sleep that night. I felt that same awkward feeling I always feel in a place that's haunted. I've learned in my lifetime the feeling between a haunted and unhaunted place. I was in the guest room. Felt weird, like someone was watching me. From my experiences, I knew what that felt like. The old house, the townhouse, I felt just generally uncomfortable. I couldn't sleep that night. Later, about a month later, I'm driving home from work with her on the phone, and I admit to her that I felt something. She doesn't believe in ghosts, but she says, not to freak you out, but to validate you, my parents kept seeing things and had a priest bless every room. I haven't seen anything since. I was relieved, but I said, it didn't help. Whoever is there is trying to reach me. It calls out to me. It follows me when I go to the bathroom at night. She said she didn't believe, and that was okay. Not everyone believes, but she believed me. And that was what was important to me. So tonight, here I sit in her house. We all decided to make margaritas. I went to the bathroom alone. I felt watched again. For the first time in my life, I addressed a spirit. I don't know who you are, and I'm not offering to help, but I know you're here. Please stop following me. The people who own this house are good and kind, and they want to make this place better. You have nothing to fear. After I addressed the entity formally, I stopped feeling like I was being followed immediately. I felt peace for the first time in her house. Later, I addressed it again. I didn't mean to be rude, but I promise you, this family only wants to help. They're good. Please don't hurt them. Don't follow or hurt my friend. And for the rest of the night, all of us had felt peace. I'm relieved. Things with her boyfriend are already leveling out and looking brighter. All of her pets, though, are now missing. Okay, I added that last part on, but that's good. I mean, sometimes that is a good example of just calling it out, speaking out loud. And sometimes that seems to be the easiest solution. Not always, but sometimes. In this case, it certainly sounds like it. Keep us posted. 855-853-4802, phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also send in your stories at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, social media, interact with us there. Facebook is one of the most active places for us. Real Ghost Stories Online is just right there. Look us up and you'll find lots and lots of people talking about our stories. Catherine says, hello, Tony and Jenny. My name's Katie from Michigan. And my story is weird. I don't know if it's paranormal, but I believe it is sleep paralysis. One night last year, I was falling asleep. I worked third shift, but I remember this was Saturday. I had this buzzing that was in my head, and I can't say it was in my ear because I felt it in my head. You know, sometimes you can hear electricity. It kind of sounds like that. I opened my eyes partway, and I could not move my body at all. My little dog was lying right beside me, and the thought went through my head that if I could bring her close to me, I would be able to move. My bedroom had no light on in the ceiling. I have a lamp, but no light or light switch. When I opened my eyes partway, I saw this chandelier thing on my ceiling, and it was very bright. It was dark when I closed my eyes. The door was in the right spot, but it was like there was a rip in time. I had a glimpse of something off. Maybe lasted a few minutes, and it took me that long to bring my dog closer to me, and then I broke out of the paralysis. It did happen one more time about a week after that when I closed my eyes. I felt the electricity and kept trying to keep my eyes open, but I could not, and I felt the paralysis sink in. But this time, it lasted not as long as the last time. I grabbed my dog and cuddled her to me, and I don't really know if it's paranormal or anything like that, but it's just an unexplained phenomenon. I do have another story about Ouija boards that happened to my sister, and she does not remember, but I'll tell that another time. I'm an EPP. Thank you for the show. Well, thank you for sharing that experience with us. Oftentimes, you know, the paralysis can be very confusing as to what is going on and if it's paranormal, not paranormal. Very hard to say, but nonetheless, it can be a very confusing and scary experience if you're not familiar with what is going on. I recall the only time and the first time I had a sleep paralysis experience, my first reaction, and I had access to some folks more so than just I guess the average person, because I was working in media, so when a radio station or something calls up a professional of another sort, sometimes it's easier to get them to call you back, if you will. I don't know why that is. It's probably like for an interview or something. But my thought was to ask about this experience I had, the sleep paralysis. And I went out to dinner with the paranormal investigator of the area and explained it. And he's like, it's sleep paralysis. I'd never heard of it before. My mind was blown. But it did kind of calm down a lot of the fears that I had. And I still don't know if it was a paranormal experience or not. I'm still on the edge with that. But it at least gave me that little glimmer of, maybe it's not a ghost. Because I, at the time, even now, I'm not someone who necessarily ever wants to have one in my home. And she writes in, so here I go. It was a brief experience when I was around 11 or 12 years old. We had just moved into our new house, which was much larger than our first one. It was peaceful, but the only thing bothering me about that was the odd feeling I got from the first night. I was unable to sleep properly, and even if I slept, I would definitely wake up at around 3. It was annoying when you must go to school in the early morning hours. So, as I was saying, I was having difficulty falling asleep. I think I was suffering from insomnia. I used to sleep in my room with my maternal aunt and my sister, whereas my mom and dad used the room across from mine. There's a big hall in front of my room, which connects my room to the kitchen and washrooms in my parents' room. As I was awake, I still remember the time. It was around 3, as always. I heard a sound that I never wanted to hear. No one wanted to hear the sound of someone dancing in the hall when everyone is asleep. So that sound was that of an anklet. I clearly remember that sound. It was coming closer and closer. By that time, I was totally freaked out. My heart was thumping in my chest, ready to get out of there in any moment, but this doesn't change the fact that the voice was coming towards me. And slowly, it was right beside my ears. I can actually feel that it was right beside my ears. I just gathered up the courage to look at what it was, and I opened my eyes. All I saw was curtains moving abruptly, even when there was no breeze. I could have done it. I was shocked. I didn't remember what happened next. Whatever. And I fainted due to fear. Or I just slept. I don't remember. All I remember is that nobody believed me when I told them. But they were forced to believe when the same thing happened with my mother. She was in the kitchen all alone when she felt someone was watching her from behind. Not only with Mom, it happened with Dad too. He was home alone for a night when he felt someone trying to kill him. After that, we never, ever heard or felt anything when we moved to another city. Well, there you go. It sounds very much like an entity you're happy has not followed you. Of course, you'd be curious to find out of whoever ended up residing there after you, what their stories are. Michael writes into us, "This story is true. It involves my immediate family and the house I grew up in a city in Connecticut. Before I was born, my parents were living with my older sister and brothers in an apartment in New Britain, Connecticut. They become too large for a family for the apartment, and my father decided the time was right to look for a house. The year was 1978, and he had just gotten a promotion at a job, and the money allowed for a down payment on a colonial he found nearby. The house was built in 1920 and was affordable. Best of all, it had a large backyard, a finished walk-up attic, large basement, and room enough for everyone. It was January of 1979 when they finally moved in. The family settled in, and my older brothers and sister were happy with their rooms. One night, not long after moving in, the strange thing started happening. My father was lying in bed one night when he heard footsteps going up and down the staircase from the first floor living room to the second floor where the bedrooms were. He thought nothing of it because my sister at the time had been a bit of a night owl at the age of 14 and would wander around at night. The funny part was that the footsteps, when they reached the top of the staircase, would stop at each door to each room, then go back down the stairs again. This seemed odd to my father, but he said that at the time he didn't feel like investigating. He fell asleep. The same night, my mother woke sometime after my father had fallen asleep. She, too, heard the sound of footsteps coming up the staircase and stopping at each door. She looked towards the door to the bedroom and saw what she describes as a figure of a woman in blue. My mother describes the sensation of being frozen and breaking out into a cold sweat. The figure spoke and said, "Do you know where Margaret is?" My mother could not answer, and before long, the figure dissolved. The next morning, my parents swapped stories. My father recounted the footsteps, and my mother told her much more of a disturbing story. A few weeks went by, and my mother was speaking with her father, my grandpa, and she told him the story. Being the type of man he was, he told my mom the story was crap and probably just a dream. The discussion they had is integral to what will happen later. Strange things would happen in the house. Old shades would go up on their own, footsteps, music in the attic with no known source, pictures would come off of walls, just things that would remind you that there may be a presence as you started to let your guard down. Sort of say like, "Hey, remember me?" Let's fast forward a couple of years to the night of September 30th, 1981. My parents were at the hospital because my mother was in labor with me. My grandparents were watching my siblings at night at the house. Same grandpa who had dismissed my mother's claims was also on the couch of the living room. Later that night, he awoke to the sound of what he calls the noise a dress makes when swaying. He looked up to see a woman in blue gliding across the living room and then up the staircase to the second floor. When he saw my mother in the hospital, when they visited her, a newborn me, he said one simple phrase and never spoke of it again. He stooped down to her and said, "I believe you now." That was it. just those words. He recounted his story sometime later to her. We lived in that house for 17 more years. Strange things would always occur. The ghost, who we nicknamed Margaret, would let us know she was still there. We never felt threatened. In fact, I fondly remember that home as warm and welcoming and loving, with a hint of added creepiness. Again, nothing demonic or harmful. Doors would open, cats would hiss at nothing. We would see figures out of the corner of our eye darting up the stairs. Smell of cigar smoke would fill the living room, yet no one in our family smoked. Sometime before we moved, we got a knock on the door. A woman was standing there and said she was someone who had lived in the home. She was a daughter of the family my father bought the home from. She asked if she could see the house so as to revisit her childhood. My parents allowed it. While going through the house, she would touch doorways in a loving manner and tear up as she walked through the kitchen and living room. After that, she sat with my parents for a cup of coffee, and she asked something that I will always remember to this day. She said, "By the way, have you seen her?" We all knew who her was. Then the story started coming out about her time in the house and the visions of a woman in the attic window and footsteps. It was nice to have more verification. Thank you for listening to my story. I don't look back on these things with fear, but only with fondness and a good feeling inside. My parents are elderly now, and we all still recount our time in that warm yet haunted home in New Britain, Connecticut. Michael.
It makes you wonder if she was Margaret or if she was looking for Margaret.
Where's that voice coming from? Oh, Jenny's back.
I'm back, yeah. So, it, you know, because it's kind of vague the way she goes around asking if you've seen Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it seems that it's a confused ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't quite know where she's at. I think it'd be really interesting now if Michael here would go back to the house and do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, look, this happened to me when I lived here, and then the child of the former owners came, and now it's my turn to come and let's talk about the ghost.
Yeah.
And see where it goes. I wonder if they all gave it the same name.
Yeah, could be.
You know, that'd be really interesting because they gave it that nickname. I'd be interested to hear what the woman who came back to visit, what they named the ghost, if they named it anything at all. It'd be really creepy if they all somehow just gave it the same name without knowing that everybody had named it something.
Mm-hmm.
And the ghost had never said, "Here's my name."
Yeah, you just got that message without it being spoken.
Yeah, it's not like in the middle of the night, all of a sudden it's like, "It's Brittany, bitch." And then you're like, "It's Brittany."
Right.
I'm just waiting for the ghost to do that.
Okay.
Someday. There you go. How's the weather? Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
It's calm for the moment. That's all I can really say.
That's all.
I don't know what it's going to do.
No. Good times. Got to love spring. That wraps up our program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. It's $5 a month, or sign up for a full year. Get a month free and a bunk bed bell to ring along with at home.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot of letters from people saying they love annoying their coworkers, their family, their pets, all sorts of annoyances.
Good.
By listening to our show and ringing along at home. So thank you for that. I always love to hear that. I like seeing pictures too. When people like send us pictures of where you have your bunk bed bells at, like in your office, your house, you know, in the middle of the night, you just ring it next to your husband's head, you know, scare the children, you know, let us know, videos or whatever. Anyway, you can send that to us, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.